Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. We are on our short series talking about why we don't use scripture references in our teachings. And we've talked about several things. What we want to just jump right in on today is about how we want to keep from muddying the waters when we have a desire or a need to hear from God. And what we mean by that is when God tells you something, when we take it to someone else or something else, this is not just the scriptures, but when we have a filter on what we hear from God, and this is besides testing it, we are going to muddy up or either subtract or add to or skew what he is saying. And if our goal is to know him and hear him, we are basically shooting ourselves in the foot when we use and rely on these filters. This is sort of the way it works, is that if you don't use, we're told that if we don't use a filter, we're open to deception. What we don't realize is that if you do use a filter, you guarantee deception. Because deception is anything less than clarity. God is making himself known to us always, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, moment by moment. There's nothing that he can say to us that we can't hear. So what we have a tendency to do, though, is bring our own history, our own beliefs, our own fears to the table. And God's desire is that we be free from all the above, and especially fear, that fear of man, that fear of the world system, that we don't want to go off the deep end. We don't want to be different. We don't want to be deceived. You don't want to be thought of as being in a cult. What's funny is that all those things were exactly what the disciples experienced as they were following the Son of God. And those are things God wants to talk to you about. Is it okay if your reputation is damaged? If you can have that wonderful experience with God that he wants you to have, would that be okay? And think about that before you answer it. Which would you rather have? And we all say, oh, I definitely would rather hear from God. And yet, that's not where we go. Our actions speak louder than words. Our actions say, no, we want to maintain control. Our actions say, they must have a good reason for not pursuing God this way. I must be wrong. And again, these are the areas that as we personally develop an intimate relationship with God, where we can hear his voice, he will provide the encouragement we need. He will provide the life, the direction, the everything about knowing him, being with him, experiencing him. When we talk about filters, here's how it kind of goes, is we think we either hear a nudging or maybe we wake up with a change of heart, a change of direction, and we wonder if it's from God. And we try to figure out how are we going to know. And a good example of that that's quite prominent in some circles today is the whole idea of the prophetic and dream interpretation and having visions and night experiences and the manifestations. Now, first let me say right off the bat, one of the things we're going to learn how to do is we are going to learn how to distinguish between manifestations that are from God and manifestations that are not. And in that process, we are going to see things from his perspective more and more and more. He is tuning our hearing. He is tuning our seeing. He is responsible for making himself known. So it's not that we're looking at a way to do things on our own, to interpret things on our own. It's simply that we are developing a way of testing what we're hearing and taking the responsibility for what we're hearing. So that when God tells us something, or we hear something, or are told something, or taught something, it is not up to our soul, our self, our mind, will, and emotions to decide, is this from God or not? Instead, we look at the test and we ask, God, is this you? God, is this something that you want me to pay attention to? Lord, are you in this? And as we do that, as we learn how to test, how to hear, how to recognize his voice, we more and more have that confidence that the whole notion of hearing him comes at such a quick pace that we can respond immediately. In a sense, what we're doing is really looking at our definition of faith. I've been told, and probably you have, that when you hear something, either, you know, if you think it's from God or a teaching, and you have questions, and you don't get the questions that give you that peace, that rest, you're told to just have faith. In other words, Stop asking questions. Learn to live with the doubt. Instead, what we want to believe and have that test, that doubt is coming from God. That's part of His knocking. That He wants to draw your attention to what He's doing or saying. It's not because you've missed Him. It's because you're hearing Him. It's just your filter is on so strong that He can't get through. Isn't that a sad thing, that God can't get through to us because of what we've been taught, what we've been afraid of, and what we've been taught to be afraid of? And yet, His peace that comes with hearing Him clearly, that's really what we're looking for. One of the things we'll find, though, as we become more and more confident in what we're hearing from Him and being alone with Him, will cause separation, will cause controversy. It's not that we're out to do that. We're not out to rock the boat. We're not out to argue or question other people's beliefs. But when God is rocking that boat, don't stop it. And we've had our long, long, long series on tithing and giving. And one of the aspects of that that's come up is this whole notion of the freedom to give versus the commandment to tithe. People are often taught, and I just love some of the anecdotes, so those are always appreciated, that tithing is giving. And that you are free to give, that God won't hold it against you if you don't tithe, if you don't give. But then when you stop tithing, don't you hear about that pretty quick? And then as soon as it gets out that you don't believe in tithing anymore, that you don't believe that scripturally even, that tithing and giving are not the same thing, and that you are now responsible to give as a giver, and part of that is being a good judge and steward of what and how and when you give. So you may be in that situation where, and again, this tithing is just an example that we've recently been talking about. It's valid in so many other areas as well. The more free you become, because as you hear God, without filters, clearly and concisely, His truth frees us. Literally. He breaks bondages. He brings healing. He changes circumstances directly without our asking, without our getting a prayer chain going or fasting. There's a place for some of those things, But they don't move God. They move us. God, where's God going to move to? He's already in full control of every aspect of your life. What's he going to stop doing as a result of us, or start doing as a result of us asking him? Is he going to say, oh, I guess I was wrong in taking you down this path. You've convinced me. Now, there's going to be times when he wants you to converse with him. The time when, was it Abraham sort of got into a discussion with God about destroying the city, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God, if you do this, can I talk you out of this? And Moses, God wanted to destroy all the people that he just led out of Egypt. Moses had to talk him out of it. The point there is not that God changes his mind, but what is the illustration of relationship? And those were both Old Testament examples. Now, we are in a new relationship with God, and yet we are so afraid to go to him and discuss these things and ask for clarification and ask, God, what do you mean by that? I'm confused here, Lord. We think God's going to give us a little picture or a direction, and we're supposed to be able to figure it out, what he means by this. And we look at what other people do. We ask their opinions. We read books. We go to conferences. We try to figure out what we're supposed to be doing, when what really God wanted was us to ask. Ask him. We're going to spend a lot of time learning how to knock and how to respond to God's knocking, how to seek him and find him, and how to be available and respond. But it's going to take prioritizing our time, our energy, our focus. And we won't do that if we can't grasp the response, the results, the outcome. If you think it's going to get harder to know him the more effort you put into it, you're not going to do it. If I were to tell you, okay, in order to lose weight, you're going to have to exercise and change the way you eat 10 times more than you ever have, and it's still not going to help, You'll lose the weight, but then you'll gain it right back. You're not going to want to do anything. Why? Because you're going to have put in all this effort and maybe experience some change, but then you're going to be worse off than you were before. And that's what we think with God. We think he's a teaser, that he wants to draw us to him so he can give us more to do. That the closer you are to him, the holier you have to be. A it's no wonder people are quite satisfied being in the church, being in a church, or at least calling themselves a Christian, coming up with their own brand of Christianity. Now, in a lot of those situations, they're a lot closer to knowing God, but we still carry our own beliefs, our own understanding, and our own standards. Whole characteristics of God, character qualities of God have been thrown out because they haven't met someone's evaluation of reality. For instance, so many, atheists, there is no God, because if there is a God, he wouldn't allow war. I'm just, picking something. Well, that is about the silliest thing in the world. And it's not that, okay, God does not allow war. Of course he does. This is part of the world system. He allows war and creates war, reveals war and evil and violence, so that you and I can learn to overcome it. His idea of peace is not lack of violence and evil and war. It is his presence. We struggle with the whole notion of why do bad things happen to good people? Well, why wouldn't they? Bad things happen to everybody. Good things happen to everybody. Neither one means anything. When we personalize our own situation and ask God, God, I want to use everything that's going on in my life as an opportunity to learn, to change, to be, to depend on you more. Don't let me miss anything. Rather than bringing our understanding, our mind, our will, our emotions to bear, to try to feel better, make the right decision, or understand it, none of those is going to change your situation, your circumstance. Feeling better simply means you're motivated by your feelings. Wanting to make the right decision simply means you're being motivated by your will. And just wanting to understand simply means you're being motivated by your mind. So we know those are all temperament issues, soulical issues, self issues. And there's nothing wrong with it, unless they keep us from asking God for his truth. And you already know it. God's already told you the truth, showed you the truth, not in the scriptures, not historically, not something you can figure out, but because, spiritually speaking, as a regenerated spirit, you are already one in and with him. There's nothing he's doing, nothing he's preparing for you in your life that you don't already know about and have already consented to. Now, there is likely things that your spirit's not looking forward to, but it will be worth it. But we start with really embracing the idea of making mistakes, This is one of the reasons we get so tied in to wanting standards, wanting a quote-unquote objective reality, a book, a pastor, a concept, a history, a person, to give us the feedback on how we're doing. Are we interpreting this correctly? Is this from God? But God is a jealous God. He wants those things to fail. And the quicker they fail, the better. When we really get the whole notion and stop and think about this, if you called and asked me what time it was, and I told you what time it was, this is something that we can all agree on. I mean, some of us, our clocks might be off a little bit, but we understand the concept of time, and we understand the concept of how that could be off a few seconds here or there, minutes. We have a common knowledge, common understanding that what you're asking me for is to confirm something that you already know. But when you call and you ask, what does am I on time with God? You're asking me a question that only He can answer. And when you ask me, or when you ask someone else, what does God mean by this? What does God want me to do here? Or when you just try to figure it out yourself. I had this dream, and in it I'm doing this and so. Or being in this situation really makes me feel guilty or suspicious or angry or stressed. And I pray about it, but nothing changes. And I guess I'm just going to have to endure and have patience and trust that God's going to work all things together for good. And when we start relying on what we've been taught is good, we settle for less than clarity. Where in that situation, if we had just turned to God and said, God, every time I'm in this situation at work, I really feel guilty. I really feel like I'm walking on eggshells. What's going on? And He may say, there's something here going on that you don't know about. There's dishonesty. There's your boss is a crook, and I want you to find another job. Now, it's not your job to figure out, okay, is he a crook? Should I turn him in? Now, God may lead you to do that under those circumstances. He may reveal to you they are cooking the books, and especially if you're an accountant, and if you can figure that out, yes, you do call the police. But otherwise, if He just says, I just want you to find another job, you test it because you've heard His voice. You can say, Lord, is that you? And the effort comes on the testing, not the clarity of what you're hearing. Not, are you hearing God, but is what you're hearing from Him what you should be doing? And how clear, when you think about the details that He's given in the past, why He's in control of every detail of your life. Why can't He continue to share them with you? Why do we think that it's all going to be based on faith and guessing, and I hope I'm doing this right? He wants to be clear. Now, sometimes that clarity is just a leading, but we can be clear about that, too. So we'll pick it up there next week. Drop me a line if you've got any questions or feedback. Again, I always appreciate, especially the anecdotes, could be very amusing. Thanks. At Diane@WeCanPrepare.org. Until next week, to next Saturday, have a great weekend and have a great holiday. Thanks for tuning in. This is Diane of Prepare Radio.